You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. In Minneapolis, the judge in the Senator Larry Craig bathroom sexting case has refused to allow the Republican senator to withdraw his guilty misdemeanor plea. Craig's lawyers had argued that he panicked and was rushed into the guilty plea. However, the judge said the plea was accurate, intelligent, and voluntary. Although the Idaho senator had previously said he would resign from the Senate at the end of September, he now indicates he will stay in office until the end of his term. In a written statement, Craig said, quote, "I have seen that it is possible for me to work here effectively," end quote. The latest AP Ipsos poll finds that 31% of those surveyed approve of President Bush's job performance, while 22% approve of how Congress is doing its job. Both of those numbers are record lows for the poll. The House of Representatives passed a bill today that would make private security contractors such as Blackwater subject to prosecution in U.S. courts for incidents that occur overseas. The Senate plans to vote on similar legislation. The White House is denying a secret Justice Department opinion from 2005 that authorized the use of painful physical and psychological tactics against terror suspects. The White House press secretary said, quote, "This country does not torture," end quote. The Washington Post reports that Iraq's president said his country has ordered $100 million worth of weaponry from China because the U.S. is unable to meet Baghdad's needs. The weapons will be used to arm the Iraqi police force. The two leaders of North and South Korea have agreed to come up with a new peace treaty that will replace the 1953 ceasefire. The two countries have also pledged to increase projects that will reduce tensions between them. State media in Myanmar reports that the head of the country's military told a UN envoy that he is willing to meet with the opposition leader. However, she must agree to several conditions first. Those include giving up her calls for sanctions against the government. In South Africa, the last of the 3,200 trapped gold miners have been rescued after an underground elevator accident. They were trapped more than a mile beneath the ground. A cargo plane crashed in a residential neighborhood near Congo's capital today. At least 25 people were killed. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for: quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway. Carmel.com.
Several scientists will declare today that pregnant and breastfeeding women should eat some seafood, about 12 ounces a week, because it helps their baby's brain development. That goes against federal advice that new mothers should avoid seafood because of possible mercury contamination. The FDA plans to speed up the approval of generic drugs, which are cheaper than brand-name drugs. There is a backlog of hundreds of applications waiting for approval. More Chinese toys are being recalled because of possible high levels of lead. The more than 500,000 products include Baby Einstein and Pirates of the Caribbean toys. The Commerce Department reports that in August, U.S. factory orders dropped by 3.3%, which is the largest decline in 7 months. There was a big drop-off in commercial aircraft orders. The Labor Department reports that the number of workers filing unemployment benefit claims last week went up by 16,000 to a four-month high of 317,000. Gold is trading at $743.80 an ounce. Light sweet crude is trading at $81.44 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was up 6 points, the NASDAQ was up 4 points, and the S&P 500 up 3 points. There's always more at our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Bramov.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Six minutes past the hour on this, a Thursday evening. I'm Bob Kincaid, you're you, and you're wonderful. We have a strange and wonderful relationship, you and I. I'm strange, and you're wonderful. And in that vein, there's a ton of stuff to go into this evening, and it runs from the disturbing to the ludicrous to the utterly and undeniably insane. What do you say we start with insane? Is that okay by you? In starting with insane, what I mean by that is the... And I was reminded of this as I was listening to the end of Mark Levine's program when he was talking about Hillary Clinton and the fact that a lot of people out there, I think, support her because they think somehow or another they get a Bill Clinton twofer if she gets to the White House. And you know, she's a genius in her own right. But it's the Bill factor. It's the Bill factor. And toward that end, what I was reminded of was the appearance that Chris Tweedy Matthews made. Screaming Chris. With his little reptile. The appearance that he made on Jon Stewart's The Daily Show to hustle his book, Life's a Campaign, or some such crap as that. Sorry, I mean, that's just... I probably shouldn't use words like that, but I do anyway, so, you know, we'll get over it. But I'm going to play you some audio, and this is the insane part of the program. And for a very good reason, not for the content, not for Chris Matthews' philosophy of life. No. This is more of a character study of Chris Matthews. You'll have to put up with some BS. But you'll know where we're going when we get there. Okay, let's have a run at this. Here we go. Jon Stewart introducing Chris Matthews.
NBC's Hardball and NBC's The Chris Matthews Show. His new book is called Life's a Campaign. The politics has taught me about friendship, rivalry, reputation, and success. Please welcome back to the show, Chris Matthews. Welcome back to the show.
Great.
How's it going?
It's great.
Life's a Campaign. Now, if I read this correctly, and I believe I read this book correctly, what you are saying is people can use what politicians do in political campaigns to help their lives.
Yeah.
Now, that's
irony, isn't it?
It strikes me as fundamentally wrong. it strikes me as a self-hurt book, if you will.
God love him.
Aren't campaigns fundamentally contrivances?
Yeah, campaigns can be, but the way politicians get to the top is the real thing. They know what they're doing. I mean, you don't have to believe a word they say, but watch how far they got. How did Clinton get there? How did
God help me, this guy is such a disgusting sycophant. I've seen it once already today, heard it once already today. You don't necessarily need the video, but we've kind of got to wade through this because, you know, among other things, I do not want to be accused, not that there's anybody out there who would, I don't want to be accused of taking Chris Matthews out of context. Because, you know, it's all context now. It's, you know, after all, but we know from our conversation a couple of nights ago that, you know, Bill O'Reilly was trying to help white America when he explained that black restaurants run by black people are just like restaurants anywhere else except they're run by black people. He was trying to help his terrified, weird-ass, ultra-right-wing, huddled behind the walls of their gated community, the revolting little audience. He was helping. He was being a helper. That's what he was, a helper. So, and there I am, big, bad, nasty, progressive liberal, taking him out of context, just like we took Rush Limbaugh out of context when he was talking about phony soldiers who didn't support the war, even though, and said it was actually about Jesse Macbeth, who was busted for fraud, but couldn't get to that for like 2-3 minutes into his thing, and it had nothing to do with what he was babbling about with his caller in the first place. But then again, when you're chewing up the OxyContin to get the refreshing burst of flavor, that kind of thing will happen. So, I don't want to be accused of taking Chris Matthews out of context, so we're going to listen to the drivel until we get to the part that's just going to make you want to throw something. Yeah, I tell you, we're going to get that rubber brick stamped with Head On Radio Network, and we're going to give them away to everybody. Someday, someday, someday.
How did he get there? How did all these guys get there?
So you're suggesting the key to success.
They have methods to get to the top.
The key to success for people is...
And you can learn from those methods.
Even if no one believes a word you say, you can be successful.
Yes.
Now, that seems to me to be a book about sadness. Is it not?
No.
Well,
can I give you an example of the truth here?
Yes.
Bill Clinton.
Okay, wait.
In
okay.
College.
Here we go. I'm going to back this up just a little bit. He's giving an example of from his book of how politicians can get ahead and we can use a politic... Okay, well, just wait. Never mind.
It'd be a book about sadness. Is it not?
No.
Well,
can I give you an example of the truth here?
Yes.
Bill Clinton, when he was in college, would get women, girls, in bed.
Not just in college.
Huh? You were there, Chris. I'm sorry, I guess that's the dead giveaway. This is the part where, this is the insane part. Here's an example. Bill Clinton, when he was in college, would get girls, you know, in bed. I'm having a little problem here. Huh?
By listening to them.
Yes.
He was a great listener. And when friends of his couldn't get the girls of their dream, he'd say, "You got to listen to these women." I thought growing up you drank beer and you bragged. But he says, listen, because it's flattering.
Right. But that's,
and it works.
It works if you care what they're saying.
Yeah, he does. Ha!
But...
No!
Ha! Pardon me while I vomit. So, this loser, this yo-yo, this overpaid... undereducated boob Chris Matthews is still after Bill Clinton, and it's finally out in the open. All these years that, you know, the liberals, progressives, you know, decent human beings, we've been saying, you know, Chris Matthews really has like some serious man envy going on with Bill Clinton. It's out in the open now. Here's this guy on The Daily Show, comes out to hustle his book. You know, we've had authors on this program. I have authors on this program whose works I respect, and we will again. Would I give the 10 seconds? Would I give, you know, what is it? We send it. Yeah. Would I give 48 kilobytes? Bits, bots, boats, to Chris Matthews? Not on your life. No way. Because this is what you get. You get Chris Matthews using as an example of politicians who make, who really succeed in life by making up a story. Okay? Because, you know, that this is made up crap. You do understand. This is just garbage. Making up a story. Well, you know, I always thought the way you got girls in college was by drinking beer and bragging. Dude did not get laid in college. Okay? But he's still got to make stuff up about Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton got lots of girls, you know, in bed. I mean, I guess that's he thinks he's really going to appeal to that hep-happening, neato-bees-knees, super-keen young audience that Jon Stewart has by talking about, you know, bed. You know, to prove that he's not an old, stodgy old, the stuffed-up, stuffed shirt, the windbag from inside the Beltway in Washington, you know, so he's going to talk bedroom stuff to the young hep-cat kids. But, you know, this is the other side of what Mark Levin was talking about as he closed his show. This is the ongoing fascination with Bill Clinton. They're still making stuff up about him. I'm sure when our good friend Bartkop gets hold of it, he's going to have an absolutely purple polka dotted blue screaming hissy. This is just amazing. Bill Clinton has been out of office since January the 20th, 2001. 6.5 years. Did I get the math right? And Chris Matthews is still out there telling stories about Bill Clinton getting it on with people. Jesus, they didn't tell stories like this about Don Juan. I mean, honest to God, it's October 2007, and Chris Matthews is still trying to make a career out of being fascinated with Bill Clinton's Johnson. Like I said, this is the insane part of the program. Is it just me, or does that just drive you bananas when you see that? I mean, does that just make you crazy? Here, you think it's, I mean, it, you know.
Oh. Politicians often listen, but they don't, they're, listen. It's a contrivance.
It's not a contrivance. I'm listening to you.
No, you're not.
I'm listening to you. How
you
can I not? You're trashing
anybody.
My book. How can I not hear
I'm
you?
I'm not trashing your book. I'm trashing your philosophy
my
of
philosophy
life.
Is the...
Oh, he shoots. He scores on the short side. Goal! I'm not trashing your book. I'm trashing your philosophy of life. Jon Stewart just let the whole Bill Clinton in bed thing go by. See, that's where he's better than me, because I would have been across the table grabbing Matthews by his little the prep school rep tie of pink and purple stripes and just until his head turns purple and you, what the hell's the matter with you? Bill Clinton is out of office. And you're still trying to, what, drum up the sex thing because you're, who are you, what is this, why? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But at least we didn't take Chris Matthews out of context. There it is for you. The guy goes on The Daily Show to hustle his stupid little book that'll be remaindered in 3 months and you'll be able to pick it up for a quarter. And the first thing he starts talking about as an example of the premise of his book are the sexual exploits, imagined, not real, imagined, of Bill Clinton. Is this, I mean, okay, I'm guilty now, I guess, because isn't this shtick a little bit old? I mean, hasn't this been done? Are we not? Yeah, Chris Matthews, give me some success strategies from George W. Bush. I mean, after all, buddy, you've been on the air and you've talked about how manly George is. How about some success strategies from Fred Thompson, who smells like aqua velva? Oh. Yeah, one wonders. I think Chris Matthews is inside a closet that's inside a closet that's inside a closet. It's like something from a Winston Churchill quote. So, you know, that's a starting place. That's a starting place for tonight. Insanity. And the Clinton effect. And please bear in mind, as the primary season draws nearer, we're going to get more and more and more and more of this. On the one hand, from the wishful thinking crowd, who hopes that Bill will be the sort of silent president. And on the other hand, from the people who think that Hillary will just be his, what's the word? Come on. Merkin. Is that the word? That she'll just be some sort of cover for him while he goes, romping like a colossus while she's busy being president. It's disturbing. This isn't about Hillary. This isn't about Senator Clinton. I'm going to break myself of that or bust in the process. You know, when W was running for president, we didn't call him George. Some people called him W. That was mainly on his side. Why is it Senator Clinton can't be Senator Clinton? I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it. This is not my defense of Senator Clinton, because I got a lot of problems, just and Mark enumerated them quite well, with her policy positions. Just a little too facile for my tastes. But this is the way, this is the kind of thing that you can expect. If you've got political fatigue right now, I suggest that, you know, you go out and live in the woods with a loincloth and a sharp knife and a wiki up and just, you know, eat whatever you can kill and, you know, pick up the little nuts and berries off the ground and get your head in a really, really clean and decent place and clear that fatigue, because it is going to be ugly and nasty all the way to the finish. And assuming that Senator Clinton wins the presidency, the nasty is going to continue. Nasty like maybe we've never seen before. Nasty in such a way as to probably make the hunting of Bill Clinton look like child's play. Because the timidity which infected the mainstream, lamestream, professional media will disappear like fog under sunshine once Senator Clinton is in the White House. And there will be scandal after scandal after scandal. Not that she will generate, but that the corporate media will create. And we'll hear about the old ones, too. The closer she gets to the nomination, the more we're going to hear the old garbage as well. We're going to hear about Whitewater. They'll dredge up Whitewater again, sure as God made little green apples. And what's his name? Dan Burton from Indiana will probably have to go out to his backyard and shoot some more watermelons in his ongoing effort to convince America that Senator Clinton blew away her friend, her dear friend, Vince Foster. Oh, we're going to hear about the MENA airport. They'll probably dredge up Jerry Falwell's Clinton Chronicles again. And frankly, I'm not looking forward to it. Not at all. Not because I don't have the stomach for the fight, but because it is so damaging to the American body politic. It is so very damaging. because every minute that we spend on this garbage will be time that we do not spend fixing the mess that has been made since the first second of the first minute that George W. Bush occupied the White House by virtue of the appointment he received from the Supreme Court of the United States. And there is such a mess to be cleaned up. Dear God in heaven, what a mess there is to be cleaned up. Frankly, the mess is such that it would probably take 4 terms of a Democrat president to clean up the filth. Do you doubt it? I don't. You environmental people, how long will it take a Democratic president to clean up the environmental hell that the Bush administration has brought about? Gender equity people? Sexual equity people? Gay rights people? How long is it going to take to clean up the hell that the Bush administration has created? How long will it take to fix all the broken garbage, all the broken laws, all the broken inside the Justice Department alone? How long will it take a Democratic president to fix a broken military, a shattered military that has been destroyed by George W. Bush? And in the midst of the attempt to fix all of that, all of it, we're going to have to put up with Chris Matthews telling bedroom stories about Bill Clinton. And it's worse, it's actually worse now than it was during the Clinton administration, because there's more of them. There are more of these sleaze bags. Oh, they're all over the place. Glenn Beck, trying to talk about context, starts out talking about trying to defend Rush Limbaugh and winds up sliding all the way downhill to saying that socialism took Rush Limbaugh out of context. I'm not kidding. It's not funny. It's nothing to kid about. So it's one of those things that sort of makes you step back and, oh, Jesus. You get a little, I don't know. You get a little paranoid and worn out in advance, I guess. Bleh. Or at least I do. I don't know about you. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're looking forward to it. Maybe it's like watching wrestling on Saturdays. At any rate, I'd love to know what you think. Hell, I still want to know what you think about the S-chip veto. Whether there's any hope for overturning it. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366. On your own nickel, 304-658-5453. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right.
We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
Six minutes before the hour, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. I tell you what, let's stay with insane for a minute, if you don't mind, because this is just too good. I didn't hear anybody else talking about this, so maybe you haven't seen it either. I picked it up from our buddies Clyde and Wally and Dookie over at WD40.com, D-U-B-Y-A-D-40.com. That's 4040, D-U-B-Y-A-D-40.com. And you know, when you're scrolling down and you see a picture of Catherine Harris holding up a live possum by the tail, you know, it's like a car wreck. You just got to slow down and rubberneck a little bit. And like I said, you know, this is from the insane department. She got a standing ovation, Catherine Harris did, former one-term congresswoman, maybe two, Catherine Harris, R., Looney. She got a standing ovation at a family values conference as part of a panel discussion on Christian citizenship at the Family Impact Summit at Bell Shoals Baptist Church in Brandon, Florida. She said to the assembled faithful, it was, quote, glorious to actually be here in Florida. One wonders what the difference is between actually being in Florida and, well, but you got it, you know what I mean. She said, well, she's insane. That's why this is the continuing insane part of the program. Among other things, and, you know, work with me here, religion folks. Not trying to be difficult or anything. Catherine Harris says she thanks God for unanswered prayers. Now, I read that, and you know how my mind works. The first place I went was the little boy who was born without arms or legs or a torso. There was nothing to him from the neck down. And as he grew up, every night he would fall asleep praying, "Dear God, give me a body. Dear God, give me a body." One day he wakes up and he's got a trunk. Not like an elephant's trunk. Come on, work with me here. And so he keeps praying harder and harder and harder. And the next day, he wakes up and he's got arms. And he prays some more the following night, and he wakes up, and the next day he's got legs and feet, and he's a whole little boy. And he's so happy, he runs out of the front door, he runs out in the yard, and he runs out of the yard, and he runs out in the street, looking, "Look at me, everybody, look, I'm a real little boy." And a bus comes along and whack, runs him over. Kills him. You know, of course, the moral of the story. Quit while you're ahead. But that was the first thing that my twisted little mind thought about when I saw that Catherine Harris told the assembled faithful that she thanks God for unanswered prayers. Do you think even the fundamentalist faithful were kind of looking at each other with those little looks you give, you know, when you're sitting in the pews there at the First Baptist Tabernacle of Apostolic Holiness and Herpetological Sanctuary? Unanswered prayers? Huh? What? Huh? She thanks God for unanswered prayers? I thank God for the fact that she's not in the government anymore. She says she's been speaking around the country and trying to work on policy debates in a, wait for this, sit down. If you've got a mouthful of something, like, you know, you're taking a drink of beer or glass of milk or whatever's working on your coffee or your tea this evening, go ahead and swallow first, because otherwise you're going to do a spit take. She's working on policy debates in a nonpartisan way. Yeah, that Catherine Harris, the one who screwed the world, not just the United States, but screwed the world by helping to gin up the phony Florida vote for George Bush, who was part and parcel of the felon scrubs that took people, mostly African Americans, off the voting rolls in Florida, who didn't even have a conviction but were guilty of, you know, being registered to vote and black at the same time. Yeah, that Catherine Harris, she's going to work on debates in a nonpartisan way. See, I did the spit take anyway. Yeah, she's a little bit insane. Oh, there was more. You know, like I said, thanks God for unanswered prayers. She also had some thoughts about the war in Iraq. She said that, you know, at this point in time, there's no getting around the fact that some mistakes were made in Iraq. But she also told the assembled faithful that, swallow, okay, because this is another one. She told the assembled faithful that hindsight is 50-50. No, sweetie, that's your bet at the casino. Hindsight's 20-20.
Now, hindsight is 50-50.
No, those are the little lottery tickets you buy at the Pee Wee Midget League football games, the 50-50 raffle. 50% goes to the football league, 50% goes to the winner. And the winner is supposed to give the money back to the little league, the little football league anyway.
Yeah, hindsight is 50-50.
You know, I swear, she and George W. must have had something going on because they were just perfect for each other. Go on over, see the picture of her with the possum over at WD40.com. That's, you know, just, you don't get those every day. Catherine Harris, we thought you were gone. How can we miss you if you won't leave? Dear God. Now, something else. Last night when I was busy losing my mind with regard to the S-chip veto, I had meant to send you along the way to the website of our good friend Eugene Finnerman over at FinnermanWorks.com, your RDA of irony, and a post that he put up yesterday called Fighting the Toddlerists. God, this is one of the sharpest human beings on the Internet. Bush vetoes child health insurance plan. Associated Press, Washington. President Bush, in a sharp confrontation with Congress, on Wednesday vetoed a bipartisan bill that would have dramatically expanded children's health insurance. Eugene writes, today, President Bush denounced children as terrorists, citing an intelligence report that turned out to be the Cliff's Notes for Lord of the Flies. In announcing his veto, the president said that America had to fight the infantata. Whew. I love a mind that can come up with infantata. When asked if this stance against children's health insurance was a contradiction of the president's pro-life pronouncements, the press secretary disagreed.
The president not only believes in the right to life, but also the right to death, and he opposes any infringement on either right.
Infantata. I noticed where Jim Wallace of Sojourners, in an essay that he published, noted that Jesus Christ said to suffer the little children. Wallace wrote, I don't think this veto is quite what he had in mind. Oh my. It may be a tough night. It may be a very tough night. I'm trying to start with the lighthearted stuff, but sooner or later I keep coming back to that S-chip veto and I get mad all over again. There may be some help. I saw an indication, something on the order of 90,000 emails had gone to the Congress in the space of a day. And not necessarily blast emails either that all come from, you know, one website like the fundies and the fake religionists do, where click here to send a message from Dr. Dobson to your congressperson. No. Now, this is the kind of stuff that Robert Byrd was talking about back when he was talking about getting letters from people that had the little donut stains on them from the Krispy Kremes and the coffee rings, you know, all wanting him to vote in favor of Samuel Alito, which was a bunch of BS. But it turns out that this time this is true. People from across the political spectrum, people from across the country are writing in to Congress demanding that George Bush's veto of S-CHIP be overturned. The votes are clearly there in the Senate. The problem lies in the House of Representatives, where we need something on the order of 25 votes to overturn the veto. And actually, it's probably more like 24 when you consider that Dennis Kucinich voted against the conference report because they had the conferees had excised. And this is sickening beyond all comprehension. Not what Congressman Kucinich did, but what happened in the conference. The original House legislation included S-CHIP coverage to the children of poor immigrants. People who are legally in this country. Now, we're not talking about Rosario's little baby who might get, you know, typhus or God only knows what, you know, whooping cough or whatever, while Rosario is out scrubbing toilets because she snuck into the country. No. We're talking about people legally in this country who have children who meet the criteria for S-CHIP coverage. And the House-Senate conferees removed that provision from the legislation, trying to make it more palatable to the hateful, bigoted, xenophobic, hypocritical, weird right wing. So it's probably more like 24 votes needed in the House. I would like to think that at least on overturning a presidential veto, that Congressman Kucinich would, you know, that he'd be on the yes side of that. But where those votes are going to come from, those 25, how you're going to arm twist because the people who can sit there and vote against this legislation. Well, it's reminiscent of a story I think that Molly Ivins used to tell about a Texas legislator. The Texas legislature, being the Texas legislature at one point in time, was trying to reinstate, if I understand the story correctly, was trying to reinstate bastardy in Texas. And I'm not just using a fun, dirty word. It's a legal term talking about, and it pertains to the legal rights of children who are not legitimately, Jesus, how very 15th century, legitimately born. Texas was trying to restore bastardy after over 100-plus years of the United States, you know, having nothing to do with it, overturning it, eliminating it. And one liberal Democrat member of the legislature stood up and he said, "I am not nearly so concerned about the natural bastards outside this chamber as I am with the self-made ones inside it." And this is that. Where we're going to find those 25 votes, I don't know. Because these are hardcore, really twisted, weird, you know, seize their computers and find the pictures of the kitty diddling kind of Republicans. These are the kinds that, you know, that are voted for in Idaho and the bizarre, you know, Kansas and Texas and Alabama and Georgia and Mississippi, the real, live, honest-to-God, bizarro world Republicans. We can't have them children, them poor children, having insurance coverage because it'll lead to communism. And the sad thing is they live in districts where they say that to the staunch, upstanding, church-going, white Christian voters who go, "Amen, brother, stop the communists. We can't have the health care." So I don't know where the votes are going to come from.
And on the and look, you know, on the other side of that debate is the fact that all the Democrats will tell you that this is really going to be good for us in the congressional elections of 2008. I mean, this is a no-lose. This is just a no-lose issue for us. I mean, this is one we can just hammer the Republicans with and they can't defend themselves. And everything they say is true. And I guess maybe I'm just not loyal enough. I guess maybe I'm not tuned in enough to the political needs of my party. Because, you see, finding the silver lining in this dark and vile cloud to be political advantage makes me want to power wretch into a bucket. The idea that my kids, and this is personal for me, and you know that, the idea that my kids have to go without health care or health care coverage so that somebody running in a congressional election out in busted knuckle Idaho can have an advantage over some right winger. You know, I can't make the math work on that. I just can't. I can't see that balancing. God forbid something happens and my kids need health care coverage and can't help it, can't have it. God forbid that happens, because I personally won't be responsible for what happens afterward. But it's not just my kids. It's your kids. It's your grandkids. It's your neighbor's kids. It's the kids over in that section of town where the police don't like to go. And it's also kids that go to school every morning and their shiny little faces and scrubbed up and look just wonderful and pristine and perfect, because mommy and daddy are busting their humps to do right by their kids. But the one thing they don't have, because you see they're paying on the mortgage where the adjustable rate just went up, or maybe the balloon came due, and they're paying for the car insurance, and they're paying for the homeowner's insurance, and they're buying the groceries, and the gasoline's climbing up over $3 again, and the milk is damn near $4 a gallon if it isn't already, and the property taxes, because of the tax cuts for the rich on the federal level, the property taxes have gone through the roof. And they like to have cable in their house, and cable's $100 a month. Telephone, internet. If they heat with oil in the winter, they're really screwed. But it's not much better if you heat with natural gas or electric either. So they have all these things going on. They try to sock a little bit of money away for a rainy day, but they're really these parents who look like everything's okay and the kids go to school scrubbed and shiny every morning. They're one payday away from disaster. But George Bush thinks they make too much money because mommy and daddy are working two or three or four jobs just trying to keep their heads above water. And they can't afford the health care offered at the workplace if, in fact, the workplace offers any health care at all. Those kids, God forbid something happens to them. I mean, we have, and I've mentioned it before, and it was mentioned on Mark Levine's program as well. We have the poster child for universal health care for children.
a young African-American boy in Maryland, I believe it was. Bad tooth. No coverage. Couldn't go to the dentist and get a $125 filling. So the infection that went through the rotten tooth went to his brain. He was a couple of weeks, maybe a month, in the hospital with a hospital bill approaching $1 million. And the child died. And that family was broken forever and brokenhearted. All for want of decent health care coverage that would take care of a rotting tooth. Oh, we have the poster children for the face of George Bush's vicious, vile, hateful, mean-spiritedness. We have the poster children for the faces of what happens when a president is more concerned with a damned insurance company's bottom line than he is with the well-being of the future of this nation. And they are the faces of my children. And they're the faces of your kids, and your neighbor's kids, and your friend's kids, and all those shiny, smiling little faces that get off the school bus every morning in front of the school. They can't go, you know, to the doctor when they're sick, George, but by God, you want them there, Johnny, on the spot for your stinking little standardized tests, don't you? You rotten son of a... Yeah. Oh, we've got it all. We've got it all. And for the life of me, I can't find much to smile about. I can't find anything to smile about in the notion that this is going to be really good for the Democrats in 2008. See, I remember when they said the same thing about the Employee Free Choice Act. Oh, yes. I have a long memory. I remember when the Republicans stopped the Employee Free Choice Act and Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, let the Republicans stop the Employee Free Choice Act in the Senate of the United States. And I heard the same damn thing. Oh, this is going to be very good for the Democrats in 2008. Well, between then and 2008, between 2007 and 2008, what a difference a day makes. What a difference a week makes. What a difference a month makes. There's, what, 300 million people in this country? How many of them are children? How many of them are people who can't have labor protection on the job? Because of a no-good, good-for-nothing United States Congress, where Republicans, being what Republicans are, destroy the hopes and dreams of adults and children alike. Ah, it's going to be very good for the Democrats in 2008. Cold comfort, brothers and sisters. Cold comfort. Frozen cold comfort. Because I guarantee you, somewhere between now and in November 2008, we're going to see the stories of what happens when poor children and middle-class children don't have access to affordable health care. Oh, we're going to see them. And I'm sure that there are PR flacks out there working within the party who will make sure that we see them. I'll get some sort of a blast email telling me about it. And we will flog the tragedy of that child as a reason to consolidate political power. And maybe some weirdo right-winger like Jack Kingston of Georgia will go down as a result. But the dirt will be the same on the grave. It just will. It just will. And the tears shed by mothers and fathers will be the same. But a it's going to be a great, great political issue for the Democrats. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's tough talking about this stuff. You want to talk about it? I welcome you to. 877-443-2366. It's time for the news. We'll come back. Chime right in. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn.
Crazy Janie and a mission man were back in the alley trading hands. Loki Wild Billy with his friend G-Man all looted up for Saturday night. Well, Billy slammed on his coastal brakes. Said, anybody wanna go to Crazy Lake? It's a mile down on the dark side of Route 88. I got a bottle of rosé, let's try it. I'm Hazy Davy and Killer Joe, and I'll take you all out to where the gypsy angels go. They're built like knights, and they dance like spirits in the night, all night. You don't know what they can do. Spirits in the night, all night, in the night, all night.
This is the Quality News Network. White House spokeswoman Dana Perino today denied that a secret 2005 memo cleared the way for the U.S. to use painful interrogation tactics. She told reporters that the United States does not use torture. However, she did admit the existence of the classified opinion. The 2005 memo came just months after a Justice Department opinion publicly declared torture abhorrent. The House of Representatives has passed a bill that would make private security contractors, such as Blackwater, subject to prosecution in U.S. courts for incidents that occur overseas. The Senate plans to vote on similar legislation. The two leaders of North and South Korea have pledged to formulate a new peace treaty that will formally end the Korean War and replace a 1953 ceasefire agreement. The two countries have also laid out plans to increase joint projects to reduce tensions between them. State media in Myanmar reports that the head of the country's military says he's willing to meet with the detained opposition leader Aung San Suu Kyi, but conditions must be met. She must agree to end her call for sanctions against the government. A relative of three women released after the demonstrations in Myanmar said detainees were being divided into four categories: passers-by, those who watched, those who clapped, and those who joined in. The last group could face 20 years in prison. An agreement reached today lays the groundwork for a power-sharing deal in Pakistan. Former Pakistani Premier Benazir Bhutto had vowed to withdraw her party before Saturday's election to reduce the credibility, essentially casting doubt on President Pervez Musharraf's re-election. A cargo plane crashed in a residential neighborhood near Congo's capital today. At least 25 people were killed and several homes were destroyed. In South Africa, all of the more than 3,000 gold miners are now safe and on the surface. About 3,200 were trapped a mile underground yesterday when an accident knocked out the elevator at the Harmony gold mine. Republican Senator Larry Craig refuses to resign from the Senate, even after a judge ruled today that he cannot withdraw his guilty plea after he was caught in a bathroom sex sting. The Idaho senator had said he would resign at the end of September. Then he said he would stay in office until a judge ruled on his bid to withdraw his guilty plea in the case. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
As the world moves to the Internet for marketing, promotion, sales, and communications, it is important to stake out your presence, your business, or yourself in an effective way. The people at Byte Technology know how to define your best self on the web so that people who know you and those who will want to can get a clear picture of who you are and what you have to offer. Byte Technology will design your website so that you will attract new customers and keep your current client base engaged and informed. As McLuhan said, the medium is the message. And never was that more true than in the new Internet commerce world. Whatever your business, selling products or services, to the general public or to a niche market, you need a presence that smart people, the people who make the best customers, can find quickly and understand immediately. Byte Technology will custom produce such a site for you. Byte Technology. See the difference at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178.
Several scientists declared today that pregnant and breastfeeding women should eat some seafood, about 12 ounces a week, because it helps their baby's brain development. That goes against federal advice that new mothers should avoid seafood because of possible mercury contamination. And the Food and Drug Administration plans to speed up the approval of generic drugs, which are cheaper than brand name drugs. There's a backlog of hundreds of applications waiting for approval. A precedent-setting music download case has now been handed over to a jury. Lawyers for record companies have filed some 26,000 lawsuits that have settled. This case against a Minnesota woman is the first to actually make it to court. The Commerce Department reports that in August, U.S. factory orders dropped by 3.3%, which is the largest decline in 7 months. Ford wants to cut more jobs, according to the Associated Press. Both United Auto Workers and Ford will take up the matter when they officially return to the bargaining table. The cuts will likely be done through early retirement and buyouts for hourly workers. 27,000 hourly workers were similarly cut last year. Light sweet crude is trading at $81.44 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 6 points at 13,974. The NASDAQ ended up 4 points, and the S&P finished up 3. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
I'd like to promise you that I'm all better now, but I don't know that I am. There is a weight. There's a weight, not a W-A-I-T, but a W-E-I-G-H-T, to all of this stuff. And I don't know, how can I best describe this? You know, sometimes I think this really is my 3 hours of therapy every night. Tonight it's a lot like being in group therapy and I'm the only one talking. Fairly quiet in the chat room. Quiet as the grave on the telephone. But that's okay. You know, maybe this is a weird little business, and sometimes, well, you know me, I'm not one of those guys. A magician never tells how he does his tricks. I've been told via email sometimes that people hesitate to call when I'm yammering away because it's like therapy for them too. That things are getting said that go on inside their skulls. And they don't want that train of thought broken, and I understand that. But the phones, this is conversation radio, and right now it's a one-sided conversation. If you want to get in on it, you're welcome to 304-658-5453, 877-443-2366, or via email, bob@headonradio.com. I got an interesting email from one of our listeners, Tom, about my what shall we call it? My hang up with language, and I'm looking for it now. I hope I didn't screw it up. Well, I don't know. It's here somewhere. I'll find it. But he said that, yeah, it's in fact that it's more than okay for me to have the occasional language hissy, because words do mean things. There it is. Please don't apologize for a filibobster, he says. That's what got my attention originally. You consistently deliver the most eloquent rants on talk radio. I'm humbled. Because there's some great ranting out there. Regarding Tuesday's discussions, Tom says, I about died laughing when Cossack called and suggested the tungsten-jacketed 50 caliber empty shell for the Alabama sex toy ban. He says, that's a hell of a business opportunity. Just imagine, a metal-finished shell of a certain size containing two C-cells and a small electric motor, twist the rim to adjust the speed, small raised ridge around the other end, made in China, of course, to cut costs. Now, you know there are hundreds of thousands of American Republican women, Alabama Republican women, who would pony up $75 for one of those. When brains are outlawed, only outlaws will have brains, Tom says. Also liked Nancy Capitulosi. Yeah, I think that one has some staying potential, too. I love it when we come up with a good one that we can absolutely say is all our own. Between you and me, it's why I was kind of tickled with the General Betrayus ad from Move On, because I got to admit, I think I was one of the first people who had the nerve to call him General Betrayus. You know, but that's what you get when you make your lead general a guy with a name that is out there for being messed with. I mean, it's like when Mercury introduced the Mercury Mystique. First thing I saw when I saw that was, well, this is going to be the Mercury Mistake before long. So, many thanks to Tom, who says, thanks for the language rant. It bothers me, too. Realtor is right up there with nuclear. Yeah, it is. And then Tom took it a place I hadn't thought about. He says, actually, media matters could also be corrected to media matter, which is true. I mean, subject-verb agreement, folks. It's a Latin word. Medium, singular, media, plural. Or medium matters, that would be correct, too. But media matters does sound better. So thanks for your comments, and thanks for your affirmation, Tom. Well, I've got another language thing for you. Oh, and by the way, it's not just the kids getting screwed. I've got another story. This is the screwing of America. And I've got another language thing, but I want to preface it in these terms, if I may. And that is this. I was asked by a person of a right-wing persuasion the other day, and I've had it bubbling around in my tiny little mind, these grim little settlings between my ears that pass for a brain. What are you liberals so upset about? You're all in such a frenzy. Why are you so burned up? You get all worked up about the Patriot Act, this person said to me. What rights have you lost? Name one. Name one right that you've lost under the Patriot Act. You hate George Bush, and you talk about the wiretapping and the Patriot Act and habeas corpus, but you haven't lost a single right. What's your problem? Why can't you people let up for a little bit? And I listened, and I thought about it. And I suppose it's a legitimate question. It is certainly a question that has been frequently posed from the first instant that the Patriot Act was passed without being read. And why, you know, do I know, what rights, what, you know, granted, I don't fly. Because I personally object to having my toes inspected and being forced to throw away, you know, that dangerous bottle of water. That could be terrorist hydrogen peroxide 962, buddy, the stuff with the heavy isotopes. I object to 45-year-old women in Phoenix being at least negligently killed, if not murdered. But why not, you know, why not just relax? Why not sit back? Screw it! Turn on the TV! doesn't have to be American Idol or lifestyles of the fabulously, obscenely ignorant and wealthy or anything. Read a book. Needlepoint. Relax. Quit worrying about it. You haven't lost anything. Those rights you keep complaining about are rights that you weren't using anyway. Right? That little conversation's been bothering me for a couple of days now. Especially after the conversation I had with, I think, Joe Vecchio last night. We've got this notion. Let's see, I'm going to spoil the discussion again. Godwin's Law. We've got this notion that it was, you know, nothing but marching Gestapo the battalions up and down the streets of Germany from the minute that Hitler took power. It wasn't. It was a very easy, comfortable slide into full-blown fascism. And I think maybe that is what I got out of this this colloquy. Fascism is easy. You know, we saw the stuff with Soviet Russia, which was probably more fascist than communist, but, you know, with the stupid posters and, you know, the party needs you. And I had that story the other night about the Chinese Communist Party's going to be having their big clavern or whatever it is that they have every 5 years and announce the new quotas for tractors or whatever. And so they're cleaning up media in China. Quit advertising the push-up bras, they've said. But for the most part, fascism is easy. The trains run on time, or in our case, the planes. We're still working on that part. You go to the store, you come home from the store, you work your ass off. You watch a little television, you avoid politics, and, you know, life is easy. Keep your head down and your mouth shut, and fascism is a breeze. What rights have you lost? The Patriot Act doesn't affect you. I mean, maybe they've done a ton of national security letters on your ass. You don't know, and they haven't come for you in the dark of the night. Yet? What are we so worried about? What are we so bothered about? Why can't we just sit back and let the leaders lead? And being followers, why can't we just follow? What's wrong with you liberals? And, you know, it was also echoed in our conversation with the right-winger the other night, the normie or non-normie. Norm! That there's something wrong with people who go to protests. And this has bothered me. I'm not kidding. This has been inside my skull for a couple of days, and it's just... It's uncomfortable. I want your input on this. Whether it's email, or the phone, or the chat room. Chat room's free, you know. Jump right in there, sign up, it's easy. Java-based chat. Head on radionetwork.com/chatroom. Is there something wrong with us? Or is there something wrong with the country? Is there something wrong with a person who... either willfully or negligently doesn't pay attention to what's going on around him or herself? Or is there something wrong with those of us who do pay attention? When you see that hateful little pimple, George Bush, veto basic health care for millions of American children, not because Well, because of no other reason than he despises what he thinks is socialized medicine. When you see that, and you get upset, is there something wrong with you, or should you just shut up and keep your head down and live with it and trust that he's doing the right thing for you because he's oh so much more plugged in, tuned in, and turned on than you are? Is that it? Are we being bad Americans by not just shutting up? I can't, for the life of me, make myself believe that to be true. Hey, welcome to the program. Who have I got?
Susan.
Hey, Susan. How you doing, dear?
Oh, just great. I have an answer for you.
Okay.
First, it came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew.
Well, that's where my head took me.
And I did not speak out because I was not a communist. And it goes on, and then the last word sentence is, then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out for me.
Yes. I mean, like I said, that's where my own mind was taking me. But for the life of me, it's... I don't understand the other side, Susan. I don't understand how you can look at this stuff and think that everything's A-okay. I don't understand how you can look at the Patriot Act and say, well, you know, I mean, it hasn't hurt me yet. You know, my ox hasn't gotten gored.
When you've been injured drastically, your body does something that is both merciful and very, very dangerous. It stops you from feeling it. So you can be critically injured and be still walking around. I've attended accident scenes where people walked over a mile on a broken leg and never felt a thing. We may not feel it, but we've been damaged.
Okay, follow up with that a little bit, please.
Because the insulating layers, I think, of the... I think part of the apathy is a type of shock. And the way people just ignore things is also a result of that shock. And they just... They know if they say anything, it's going to hurt, and it's going to hurt bad. Because then they will have to acknowledge the fact that they're hurt. It's like being injured, and you don't hurt until you see the blood. And then, oh, crap, does it hurt?
Okay, what about the other side, then? What about the people? Because, you know, this was one of those people who... I'm making some assumptions here, Susan. Would gladly defend the policies of the Bush administration. The Patriot Act, the habeas corpus attack, the wiretapping, the spying on our emails... Do they not know that this is injurious to a free society? Do they not know? They don't care?
No. Why should they? They get theirs. That's all they're interested in.
But they can be hauled off just the same as you and me.
But you see, they don't think that far ahead. It never occurs to them. It's like in another Hitler reference. The Night of the Long Knives. The brown shirts never believed that Hitler would turn on them. But he sure as hell did.
So true.
And they're dead.
Ernst Röhm.
Yep. And I can guarantee every one of those people died saying, what did I do? Never even occurred to them that they would, that the guy who started all of this would turn on them. And it never occurs to these right-wingers that this can be used against them. Because if it occurred to them, do you think they would be pushing Hillary so bad, so much?
No, okay, you may have just lost me.
Okay, look at it this way. Nobody holds a grudge better than a woman.
All right.
Hillary.
That's a little sexist, but I didn't say it, so I'll let you get away with it.
I'm a woman,
you,
and I know.
You've got the union card.
Yeah. Okay. When they were in the process of hunting down Bill Clinton, they also hunted her. They ridiculed her daughter, and as a mother, I got to tell you, don't do that. You will get a lifelong enemy. Now, Hillary may or may not admit it, but she's got a little list in her head.
And those are the people who are...
Put her in a position, give her the power that Bush has and put her in the presidency. These right-wingers are crazy if they think that's a good idea.
Well, they don't. I mean, they're not for Hillary. They hate her.
Oh, they want her in. They want her running so bad they can't see straight.
Right, but that's because they think they can. They think that they can slime and sleaze her like they did Kerry. Now I'll tell you this much.
And it ain't going to happen. She's going to rip their guts out.
Yeah, she will.
And then
I'm not. I don't have a problem with her willingness to fight. I admire her willingness to fight.
Yeah, and then the thing is, you have a president in office with a precedent. But you see, it's really bad, and they're not nervous with this little list in her head? You better be. Because then it's payback time. It may be political payback, but it's payback time.
And that's the question I keep asking. And, of course, you know, we don't have any right-wingers who are going to call in and give me an answer. But all these powers that have been given to George Bush, some have been given, some he's taken unilaterally, and
yeah.
Sort of told the Democrats to eat it and smile.
But it established a really bad precedent.
Doesn't it? I mean, don't they wake up in the middle of the night with just like the cold sweat running down their forehead thinking, my God, if Hillary has this kind of power, think what she'll do. Because, you know, they think she's... They think she's the incarnation of Satan in a skirt, you know, or a pantsuit.
Uh-huh, and because she's in a skirt, they figure, oh, she's nothing, we can sweep her aside, come over to the general election. Well, it's not going to be that way. She's going to eviscerate them. Not that I mind.
I don't think, and this is the, I guess this is the good side of Hillary. See, I did it again. This is the good side of Senator Clinton. She will not issue orders during the Republican National Committee convention to be nice to the nominee like John Kerry did.
No.
She will not go windsurfing.
No.
I don't think that she'll be caught having a photograph taken of her in either a tank or a sperm suit.
No. She has gotten, I would be willing to bet cash, if she has learned the first lesson.
Don't bring a knife to a gunfight?
No. Revenge is a dish best eaten cold.
I thought that was a Klingon proverb. And it is very cold in space, Jim Kirk. I remember it very well, see?
Yeah. But she's one of the... She's a person who believes in payback. She's going to pay people back. I wouldn't want to be on that woman's bad side. She's got the brains, she's got the willpower, and now she's got the machine.
Is it a foregone... Susan, is it a foregone conclusion for you now that she... I mean, is the primary process a waste of time now? Is this just a coronation like the Republicans usually have?
I hope not. I really hope not, frankly, because I don't agree with her politics. I think she's a great politician. I just don't particularly care for her brand of politics.
A little too much on the Barry Goldwater side of the Democratic Party for you?
A little too much on the Rahm Emanuel side of politics.
But I don't think Bob Schrum will be running her. No. The professional loser? No.
No, uh-uh. Nobody runs Senator Hillary Clinton except Senator Hillary Clinton.
So if there's an upside to it, it will be fun to watch her eviscerate Republicans along the way.
Oh, God, yes. But I don't think, you know, I don't agree with her politics, but I, you know, yes, I don't think she's going to, I think she would be a really good president. I just don't happen to agree with her politics.
What in particular, Susan?
I think she's too much in the back pocket of the drug companies and the military-industrial complex. I think they bought her.
So, you think she's going to be a hawk and go out and start bombing people?
I sincerely hope not. I hope she has enough still in touch with the base to realize that'll get her ass tossed out of office so fast it'll make her head swim.
No, well, I don't know. I fully expect, and this isn't about her. This is about the media. I expect impeach Hillary if should she be elected president. I expect an impeach Clinton movement to begin the day she puts her hand on the Bible to take the oath of office, just like they did with Bill.
Oh, I expect it before she even takes office. You don't really expect those freaks to sit around, do you?
No, because like Wayne says, Republicans don't have off years.
Yeah, I really don't envy her this. She is going to have a monster of a presidency because it will be one of two things. It will be an incredibly wonderful presidency, or it will be one Donnybrook from start to end.
Well, I expect the Donnybrook because it's going to start out with Hillary lost the war in Iraq. That's where it
Hillary's
starts.
Hillary's going to turn around and shove that right up their noses.
She may or may not, but the fact of the matter is, that's the planning, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that we can't, as Democrats, don't have the common good sense to make it end now means that the 4 years of the first term will be spent on the defensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were finally turning the corner in Iraq. General Petraeus had us making progress. There were 19 Iraqi divisions that were ready to take the field until President Clinton surrendered.
I really hope what Hillary does is transcends politics and says, okay, gets in office and says, okay, here's what we're going to do. And then proceeds to restore our Constitution and our country. She will go down in history not only as the first woman president, but one of the best presidents.
Oh, they'll hang the great behind her name.
Oh, you better believe it. If she sets aside politics and says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. This, and then proceeds to do it. And she can. It's going to be a wonder to behold.
Well, you're putting a pretty good face on it, Susan.
Well, it's going to be either a wonder or it's going to be an unmitigated disaster. Take a pick.
When will Oregon's primary take place?
Oregon's
recognizing that you guys vote by mail and all that stuff.
Oregon's primary. Let's see. I'm not exactly sure. I know we're not in on the big, massive primary thing along with everybody else. Oregon has to be,
So, it may be a foregone conclusion by the time it gets to you.
Oh, yeah. It always is.
It'll probably be a foregone conclusion by the time it gets to me, too.
Yeah, you're in the same boat as we are. Our state's constitution, say, here it is, and apparently, I don't particularly care, if we're not in with this great herd, I don't have any urge to get in there first. I really don't see a point in it. Personally, I think what they ought to do is have one massive election for the, primaries. On one day. Make it on a Saturday or something. And then, boink,
You know, I think it was Mark Levine I was talking with about this one time, and I proposed a lottery where, like, 10 states get to go first, and it's strictly a blind draw, and it doesn't rotate away so that somebody, you know, so that there's a guarantee that they won't be the first two elections in a row. But, you know, 10 or 15, 20 states, one, you know, and go from there. But, you know, that's pie in the sky, pipe dream.
That would be a little bit like, I don't know. I personally like the whole idea of a national thing. It's not like it's all that difficult. We do it every 4 years, have a national election. Why not do it twice? Once for a primary to weed out the, you know, thin out the herd, and then once to decide who gets to be president.
Yeah. Oh, I understand.
And then that way there's none of this jockeying for position among the states. There's none of this insanely long campaign season. And I got to tell you, this is just flat ridiculous. So why not just have, say, 6 months beforehand, a countrywide primary. Candidates maybe start 8 months before, campaigning 8 months before the general election. 6 months before, you hit the primary, bam, it's winnowed down when you get down to your candidate. And then 6 months later, bam, general election.
Makes way too much sense.
Yeah, and that means it'll never be, it'll never happen.
Hey, Susan, thanks so much. I appreciate
it. You're more than welcome.
And, you know, it sounds like you're beginning to inure yourself to the idea of a Senator Clinton nomination.
To a certain extent, I would prefer somebody with different politics, but I never really had much of a hope for that. There was never really much of a realistic hope for that.
So, under the circumstances, will it be one of those hold your nose in November kind of things?
Yeah.
I mean, does it go that deep for you, or can you, you know, put a Senator Clinton sign out in your yard and get really, really excited?
Oh, I'll go. Hey, if it'll mean, you know.
I mean, let's say it's Senator Clinton versus dog on a car.
If it means wiping the floor with the Republicans, you bet your bippy the sign's going out in your yard. I wasn't all that thrilled with Kerry, but I had signs out in my yard.
Well, same here. Well, okay, so that gives me, because, you know, you're, and I'm not being mean or anything, you're kind of hardcore.
Yeah.
So that tells me that the progressive, you know, the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party can get behind her.
Yeah.
And all this business about, oh, the left, you know, the left hates her as much as the right does, is probably BS.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely BS. What we hate more than Senator Clinton are the Republicans.
Lesser of two evils.
Oh, and by the way, a little piece of information. Did you know that Stephanie Miller and I think her name is Cece Goldwater, they are running for president as well.
Oh, you know, I haven't got the PR machine up to the point where I can do that, but yeah, I understand.
Mainly on the point of the fact that Stephanie Miller is funny, and apparently Ms. Goldwater has an amazing rack, and that's a direct quote from Stephanie Miller, so I'm not being sexist.
Oh, you know, that's the kind of stuff I'm happy to leave to you, Susan. Thank you very much, dear.
Elections are a wonderful thing. Have fun.
Gonna. You take care. Bye now. Our good friend Susan in Columbia City, Oregon. Susan the News Ninja from HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, the homepage. So we'll take a little break. We're at a little over the halfway point. And I'm going to pull myself out of this. I'm going to pull myself out of this. Because I'm just that good. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. You're listening to America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Another night slowly closes in, and I feel so lonely. Touching heat freezing out my skin. I pretend you still hold me. I'm going crazy, I'm losing sleep. I'm energy firing way too deep over you. I can't believe you're gone. You were the first, you'll be the last. Wherever you go, I'll be with you. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. An around-the-clock rescue operation has managed to bring most of the 3,200 trapped South African gold miners back to the surface safely. Hundreds were still trapped on Thursday, but the rescue efforts were ongoing and all were expected to be rescued. The miners were trapped when a water pipe collapsed a shaft. The operation to free the trapped miners is expected to conclude today, and there were no deaths. Peter Bailey of the National Union of Mine Workers says the gold mining industry in general is very negligent on safety in South Africa. The union says this should be a wake-up call for the industry. There's been a significant shift in the politics of the past two decades toward a more progressive, labor-friendly direction, and that, according to Celinda Lake of Lake Research Partners, means that the 2008 presidential election will be about the revival of the American dream. Change to Win's Anna Berger says an overwhelming majority of Americans now believe that corporate power has run amok, and that unions are the antidote to restore the American dream for workers.
There's been a whole campaign to deunionize the workforce and to prevent workers from having a voice. And I think that has led to the decline of workers' standards in this country. And it was really clear from the poll that voters know that. They get that. And they believe that having a president who speaks out strongly for the workers' rights to have a union will change things. And they believe very clearly from the polls that having a union would change their lives.
The Service Employees International Union wants Congress to hold hearings and consider oversight actions on increasing ownership of nursing homes by private equity investors. SEIU says care is deteriorating at nursing homes owned by private equity groups. SEIU is concerned that this trend is diverting taxpayer money toward the enrichment of private equity CEOs at the expense of quality care for the elderly. The Carlyle Group is buying out HCR Manor Care, that's the nation's largest nursing home provider. SEIU's Anna Berger says Medicare and Medicaid resources meant to care for some of the most vulnerable Americans are being instead diverted to the private benefit of wealthy investors, and Congress needs to act to correct it. AFL-CIO President John Sweeney says Bush's veto Wednesday of the state children's health insurance program denies urgently needed medical care to poor children. Sweeney says healthy children is not a political issue, it's about helping kids. The Bush veto also kills an expansion of the Family and Medical Leave Act for families of wounded military personnel. Sweeney called the veto callous and indefensible. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association says that while overscheduling is a big reason so many flights are delayed these days, controller understaffing is also a factor. The union says the number of fully trained, experienced air traffic controllers is at an 11-year low, with 1,100 fewer than were on the job in 2001. At JFK in New York, for example, there are 32% fewer controllers, while air traffic at JFK has increased by 40% since 2001. For more labor news and to keep workers' voices on the air, go to laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
What that is some Bob Kincaid crawl out of your funk music. I guess there's a lot of great mandolin players out there. This is one of the best. Listen to that. I mean, that's like, what if Jimi Hendrix had a mandolin, you know? I mean, holy cow. Johnny Stats. West Virginian Johnny Stats. He played here in Fayette County not too long back, and a friend of mine who was able to pony up the $60 to go see him, it was a mountain stage thing, dinner and music and everything, said that Johnny Stats sprays WD-40 on the neck of his mandolin before he starts playing. And by God, you listen to that, and you can see how that would be true. I mean, check that. Wow. Yeah, so when this show is over and when we're done with Strictly Confidential, which comes your way at 9 p.m. Eastern as well, I don't know, maybe I'll sit down for a few minutes with my mandolin. And old MacDonald had a farm. Blink. Oh, damn it. Start. Old Mac. You know. But, you know, I'm reminded of the call from our good friend Mike in Woodstock, New York, yesterday evening, whatever. Talking about the transcendent power of music. And wow, isn't that the truth? It is a spiritual experience, music. And it started out that way, and it still is. Regardless of the musical style. Now, this is a story, and it's certainly not a screamer. But it's just a little depressing. Just a little depressing. You know, about a half a Prozac, quarter of a Prozac, a shaving off of a Wellbutrin, and I know it's got to get under the skin of our good friend the rocket scientist, or our good friends the rocket scientists. It's an AP story that begins: the Soviets beat the United States at getting a satellite and a man into space. Now the Chinese may get to the moon before the U.S. can make a return visit. Don't! I was talking with someone in the chat room last night after the shows were over, or during the shows. I think it was after Strictly Confidential was over. And the remark was made that this person and I share the same birth year, 1963. And, you know, we are the very last dragon tail end of the baby boom. Us 1963 and 1964 people. How they define that, I don't know. But at any rate, somehow or another, I was, you know, being born with the beginning of America's forays into space made space a very, very real and engaging thing for me. And it was still novel enough back then that, you know, networks would break time and take time to show the launches, to play the to play the radio transmissions men far, far from home who were orbiting the moon or later on landing on it. Yes, I really do. I believe we landed on the moon. Eesh. And so I read a story like this, and it's like, ah, dadgummit. It's like dropping a hammer on your toe or something. Oh, darn it. NASA Administrator Michael Griffin said 2 weeks ago, I personally believe that China will be back on the moon before we are. I think when that happens, Americans will not like it, but they will just have to not like it. You know, we talk about S-Chip. You know, what was it, $20, $30 billion for 5 years' worth of coverage? You know, damn good bargain if you ask me. And I know that this one probably gets under the skin of some of our, you know, some liberals and progressives, and daggummit, that's just too bad. But I think there's a place for civilian, especially a place for the civilian exploration of space. Not the militarization of space, floating weapons platforms and all that crap. But for the simple, not simple, but for the human undertaking of the exploration of space. And I'm not discounting for one instant the robotic stuff that we're doing, because that is amazing. The exploration of space by humankind, either robotically or with humans going into space, you can't overestimate its value. Every last one of you, because none of this goes out over terrestrial radio, every last one of you listening to this program is listening to this program because we endeavored to explore space. Because of the developments in computer technology that had to come in order to advance our space program. And we, good God Almighty, we have wasted what it would take to get to Mars and back a dozen times on this stupid little war in a miserable little corner of the globe. And we are now going to be beaten back to the moon. And, you know, the Chinese will probably pull up all our flags. Oh, they were never here. It was all a fraud. We didn't find any flags. There were no flags here. That was all done on a Hollywood soundstage. China is the first country to ever make it to the moon. Oh, there's my paranoid streak shining through. The AP story says Michael Griffin's candor startled many in the space community, but insiders acknowledge the reality. China has pulled off two manned space flights with its own rockets and is eager to head for the moon. Now, see, this is the part where the right-wing Republicans and the people over there at Freeperville say, that's only because Bill Clinton let them have our space technology, our missile technology over there at Loral. Remember that? Remember that? He gave them to them. I'm warning you, that's what, this is, but you know. It's just a little embarrassing. We've already been there once. Somebody dig up the Saturn V plans, get some built. Good God, the computer you're listening to this program on. Okay, computer people, tell me. What is it? Is it 1,000 times more powerful, the computer you're using? Is it 1,000 times more powerful than the computers that were on board the Saturn V? Fives that went to the moon? Oh, and by the way, of course, you probably know this already. You may have heard it on the QNN news, but other news from China. And no, this doesn't, you know, this isn't from some wacko left wing, no. This is the Washington Post. Headline, Iraqis to pay China $100 million for weapons for police. Iraq has ordered $100 million worth of light military equipment from China for its police force. That probably means AK-47s and little pistols. Because the United States was unable to provide the material and is too slow to deliver arms shipments, according to Iraqi President Jalal Talabani. How about that? Now, wait a minute. I thought we said, wasn't it about $190 million worth of small arms that we sent to Iraq that got lost? Jesus, did nobody get the UPS tracking number? The China deal, not previously made public, has alarmed military analysts who note that Iraq's security forces already are unable to account for more than, see, there it is, 190,000 weapons, not dollars worth. That was, holy cow, 190,000 weapons supplied by the United States, many of which are believed to be in the hands of Shiite and Sunni militias. Well, guess what? Where do you think the Chinese-made AK-47s are going, you geniuses? Their rockets are going to space. Their guns are going to Iraq. And their poisonous toys are coming to America. Do you see a pattern here? I see a pattern. I mean, not like beautiful mind, the snippets from Highlights for Children on the garage wall pattern, but yeah, there's a little pattern here, isn't there? Ugh. Honest to God, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing, that's what it is. It's just embarrassing. My little granddaughter, Liza. Loney, we call her. She'll be just getting old enough to pay attention when we show her footage of the Chinese landing on the moon.
Granddad, why can't we do that?
Well, honey, see, there was this war.
Oh, you mean the one that's been going on since before the day I was born?
Yeah, that one, honey.
Oh, you mean the same one that's the reason that I can't have any health insurance coverage?
Yes, sweetheart, that one.
You mean the one that they're going to want me to fight in 2013?
Could be. Even though you'll only be 6. Kind of gets under your skin, doesn't it? God, if it doesn't, and see, this is the original. I was gonna, and if it doesn't, there's something wrong with you. Because that's what I started out with. This inquiry. You should be pissed off. The Patriot Act should make you mad. The fact that they haven't knocked on your damn door yet doesn't mean they're not gonna. And especially that they can't. You love your country and you love your Constitution, and therefore you're the subversive? I'm the subversive? Patriotism lies in shutting up? Patriotism lies in hunkering down and tucking your head underneath your wing? I was bothered by that little colloquy, that little exchange. I was very bothered by it. I'm still bothered by it. What the hell's wrong with people? The Constitution matters a hell of a lot more than the Patriot Act. Well, we'll just trust Clarence Thomas to figure it out for it. Oh! Who put the pubic hair on my copy of the Constitution? But it's sort of where we are, isn't it? So I'm not gonna apologize for being pissed off about this stuff. I'm just not gonna. And I'm not gonna feel like there's something wrong with me because I'm outraged. Because there's not. There's something wrong with the people who aren't. And that's just all there is to it. We're right. They're wrong. And it is a simple matter of black and white. We'll be back after the news. This is America's liberal voice. This is the voice that you help happen. The conversation that you begin, the dialogue that you develop. This is The Horn. I'm Bob.
This is Equality News Network. The House of Representatives has passed a bill that would make private security contractors such as Blackwater subject to prosecution in U.S. courts for incidents that occur overseas. The Senate plans to vote on similar legislation. White House spokeswoman Dana Perino today denied that a secret 2005 memo cleared the way for the U.S. to use painful interrogation tactics. She told reporters that the United States does not use torture, but she did confirm the existence of the classified opinion. The New York Times also reported today that a U.S. official revealed a secret CIA program has resumed, and at least one prisoner has been held overseas. The White House did not directly answer the allegations. The latest AP Ipsos poll finds that 31% of those surveyed approve of President Bush's job performance, 22% approve of how Congress is doing. Both those numbers are record lows. The leaders of the North and South Korea have pledged to formulate a new peace treaty that will formally end the Korean War and replace a 1953 ceasefire. The two nations have also laid out plans to increase joint projects to reduce tensions between them. State media in Myanmar reports that the head of the country's military says he's willing to meet with a detained opposition leader, but conditions must be met. She must agree to end her calls for sanctions against the government. An agreement reached today lays the groundwork for a power-sharing deal in Pakistan. Former Pakistani Premier Benazir Bhutto has vowed to withdraw her party before Saturday's election. She had vowed. The move would have reduced the credibility of the process in which President Pervez Musharraf is expected to be reelected. In South Africa, the last of a crew of gold miners is now safe on the surface. About 3,200 were trapped a mile underground yesterday when an accident knocked out an elevator. Republican Senator Larry Craig refuses to resign from Senate. A judge ruled today that he could not withdraw his guilty plea related to an airport bathroom sex sting. The Idaho senator had said he would resign, then decided he would stay in office until a judge ruled in the case. Russia celebrated the 50th anniversary of the Sputnik launch. The world's first artificial satellite opened the door to the space age. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We have science and business news coming up next.
PM Forney is on a mission to make life better. His pathway is civility. A professor at Johns Hopkins University, his pioneering study in civility produced a book called Choosing Civility, The 25 Rules of Considerate Conduct. In his book, Forney explains what is civility and what it means to be civil in today's world. He explores the recent decline of civility and offers ways that the direction might be reversed. His brilliant and engaging discourse outlines civility's basic rules, underscoring the values that practicing civility brings to our own lives as well as to the lives of others. Forney's book is sprinkled with stimulating quotes, such as this by Dwight Curry, who said, "We have a choice about how we behave, and that means we have the choice to opt for civility and grace." For more information, click the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Several scientists declared today that pregnant and breastfeeding women should eat about 12 ounces of seafood a week. They say it helps their baby's brain develop. That goes against federal advice, though, that new mothers should avoid seafood because of possible mercury contamination. The FDA plans to speed up the approval of generic drugs, which are cheaper than brand name drugs. There's a backlog of hundreds of applications waiting for approval. A precedent-setting music download case has now been handed over to a jury. This case against a Minnesota woman is the first to actually make it to court. Others chose to settle. In August, U.S. factory orders dropped by 3.3%, the largest decline in 7 months. According to the Associated Press, both United Auto Workers, and Ford will take up the matter of job cuts when they officially return to the bargaining table. The cuts will likely be done through early retirement and buyouts for hourly workers. 27,000 hourly workers were similarly let go last year. Gold is trading at $743.80 an ounce. Light sweet crude is at $81.44. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 6 points at 13,974. The NASDAQ ended up 4, S&P up 3. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Laurel Chrisom.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Producing a talk radio program with one hand tied behind my back, and you can tell it, can't you? I'm getting better at doing all the buttons myself. Yeah, but doggone, I'm not going to kid myself. You guys wish Agnes was here. I wish Agnes was here. But, you know, family values liberals, that's us. What are you going to do? A reminder, coming up this evening, because it's been repeatedly rescheduled because of the glitches that we have had, but Archbishop Bruce Simpson will be joining Peter Godbold on Strictly Confidential. It's a conversation that I think you will find extremely inspiring. At least I hope you do. I think you will. See, that's the difference. There's hope and there's thinking. On the other hand, there's this believing word that gets trotted out a bunch. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because me giving free publicity to a man who makes $29 million a year, well, you know, that's not something that's really on the sane side of the coin. But, you know, Harry Reid delivered a letter to the CEO of Clear Channel about the oxymoron, the, you know, Rush chew him up for the refreshing burst of flavor, Flimball. And the CEO responded to Harry Reid saying, "Ultimately, I don't believe Limbaugh's statements were intended to personally indict combat soldiers simply because they didn't share his own beliefs regarding the war in Iraq." I hate that word. I don't believe Limbaugh's statements were intended, yada, yada, yada. See, that's the thing. There's a big difference between knowing, thinking, and believing. And it's the believing one that really has the gulf in front of it. Of course they were. All you have to do is listen to the tape, the recording, as we have numerous times in the last week. You can hear Flush Flimball. You can hear that pimple-butted, pimple-brained, draft-dodging jackass disparage people who are in the military who don't agree with him. You can hear it. You want to hear it again? Go over to MediaMatters.org. Tired of playing it. Not being mean about it, but again, giving free PR to a guy who makes $29 million a year doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I don't care much for it when my Congress does it either. I don't believe he meant it. In other words, he doesn't believe his lying ears. Now, if Rush's ratings were a little bit soft, it might be time to get rid of him. He might believe it. But as long as he's able to sell those vacuum cleaners that'll pick up those bowling balls and those Swedish mattresses and those herbal baldness cures and those vitamin-enriched erection pills, well, Mr. Mays won't believe. You know what I mean. I told you we had a language moment. few nights ago, I told you the story of Carol Gottbaum. I did it right at the end of the show so as to avoid engaging in a whole bunch of screaming. She was arrested, taken to the ground, handcuffed, put in a holding cell in Phoenix International Airport, and then chained to a bench like an animal. And then ignored in a walled-off holding facility that had a tiny window in it while seven security staff members sat and drank coffee outside. They didn't hear her screaming anymore, so, you know, they wondered what was up and went in and found her dead, so they say. Well, she was a New Yorker, Ms. Gottbaum, and she was a connected New Yorker. And as such, this isn't just going to be swept under the rug as if the thugs in Phoenix had slaughtered, you know, some Mexican. The Gottbaum family has already hired their own forensic analyst who has already opined that it was impossible for Ms. Gottbaum to strangle herself. 45 years old, mother of three young children. They have not yet decided whether or not she committed suicide or was shot trying to escape. So, it's generated enough attention that one Sergeant Andy Hill of the Phoenix Police sent out a blast email today. The opening paragraph of which, and I told you we had a language moment, the opening paragraph of which says, my best Joe Friday voice, on Friday, September 29th, 2007, Ms. Gottbaum flew unescorted and alone to Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix. She was supposed to then fly to Tucson. Per the airline, Ms. Gottbaum was denied access to that flight in Terminal 4. There was a subsequent verbal altercation at the gate in Concourse B between Ms. Gottbaum and the gate attendant. Ms. Gottbaum became agitated. Okay, here's where the language thing happens. Ms. Gottbaum became agitated and loud and at some point threw her handheld PDA, just missing a citizen, which broke into pieces. This is a tragic story. And I submit to you, from the Freudian department, that little bit of misplaced modifier suggests, and you can call me crazy, it's okay, it wouldn't be the first time, it suggests a level of duplicity on the part of Sergeant Andy Hill. Ms. Gottbaum became agitated and loud and at some point threw her handheld PDA, just missing a citizen, which broke into pieces. Never in my life have I seen a citizen break into pieces. And I think, technically, it would be just missing a citizen who broke into pieces, wouldn't it? Is Andy Hill new to the country and he doesn't fully get the idiom? Did he mean to say that the citizen became so upset that they went all to pieces? Ms. Gottbaum became agitated and loud, and at some point threw her handheld PDA, just missing a citizen, which broke into pieces. Ms. Gottbaum left the gate area. That's the first paragraph. It goes on quite for a... Ms. Gottbaum did not want to be arrested, and the officers and Ms. Gottbaum ended up on the floor as they tried to handcuff her. Really? They ended up on the floor. Gravity just got stronger at the Phoenix International Airport, Sky Harbor, and just sucked them to the floor. They ended up on the floor. Gee, how did they end up on the floor, Sergeant Hill? seeing as how there were more officers than there were Ms. Gottbaum, this 45-year-old mother of three in a distraught condition dragged a bunch of men to the floor? Really? The Phoenix police are that big a bunch of sissies that one 45-year-old woman can drag a contingent of Phoenix cops to the ground. Hell, it's a pity they killed her. The Phoenix Cardinals could have used them. They can't drag anybody to the ground. He throws in as an aside, no one got hurt.
Well, she's dead, Sergeant. I'd say that qualifies as hurt.
And the officers did not use pepper spray or a taser. The officers then picked Ms. Gottbaum up on her feet, and two officers then began to escort her to a holding area. Really? They were just escorting. Did they have corsages? Language means things. Words have meaning. And Sergeant Andy Hill has indicted himself all over the place in this memorandum. You want to read the whole thing? I'm not going to read it to you. You're very good at the reading gig. You're liberal, you're progressive, you're intelligent. You can go to the New York Times. The headline is Phoenix Police Defend Actions in Gottbaum Case. Hell, the rednecks in Phoenix were probably terrified because her name was Gottbaum. What? She's got a bomb! Jesus! In the holding room, there is a bench with an eye hook attached to it. The officers took a shackle, which is described as a metal chain approximately 16 inches long with a large handcuff on each side. The total length of the chain with handcuffs is approximately 24 inches. Boy, Sergeant Hill's good with the details when he needs to be, isn't he? At some point she threw her handheld PDA, just missing a citizen, which broke into pieces. But by God, when we need to know how long the shackle chain is, Sergeant Hill's right there for us. The officers immediately called for the fire department, removed the handcuffs and shackle, and began life-saving measures to try to save Ms. Gottbaum. What, was she on fire? The officers began mouth-to-mouth resuscitation and CPR. While doing mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, Ms. Gottbaum vomited into one officer's mouth. Well, damn! I guess she needed to die. The officer spit up himself, but continued to do mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Oh, what a hero! This is disgusting. The Phoenix Police Department believes there may still be witnesses who have not come forward. Please, please, please come forward and say that we didn't kill her. The beginning of the whole thing is Sergeant Andy Hill saying, the purpose of this update is to address some incorrect, inaccurate, and false information that has been given to the media and reported to the public. Really? Which part was incorrect, Sergeant Hill? The part where she's dead? The part where she's strangled to death? Is that what was inaccurate? Is it false that she was in a little room shackled to a bench? Like some sort of dog? Is that the inaccurate part, Sergeant? Go read it for yourself. See if this doesn't just look like a string of prevarications. That's a big fancy word for lies. We sure would like to find some eyewitnesses who would say that she really roughed our cops up, even though it makes us look like a bunch of wimps. Nah, but see, you haven't lost any rights under the Patriot Act. This didn't happen to you. Okay? What are you upset about? What are you worried about? The Patriot Act hasn't taken any of your rights away. It just strangled to death a 45-year-old mother of three who was accosted in an airport for traveling alone. Maybe if she'd had her burqa on. You don't have any problems. Life is easy in fascism. Put your head down. Don't look around. Don't slow down. There's nothing to see here. Keep moving. These are not the droids you are looking for. 9/11. 9/11, sir. Damn. See who's on the phone. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Yes.
Here's Ed. How you doing?
Hey, Ed. What's going on, my friend?
Not a lot. I was just going to listen. I've called two or three times and was just going to be put on hold and listen, and you was already on there, and I wasn't aiming to get on and talk any.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. I can put you back on hold then.
Well, that'd be great if you would.
I don't mind in the least.
Okay. Well,
stand by.
Uh-huh.
Our good friend Ed. You know, you go back to what the family's forensic investigator says. Attorney Michael Manning, who was hired by Gottbaum's family to monitor the police investigation, says it doesn't seem possible she could have killed herself. She was handcuffed behind her back and shackled to a table. It doesn't make sense that she could have physically managed to strangle herself. Sergeant Hill now says that she somehow stepped through the shackle, got her arms over her head, and then strangled herself. Forensic pathologist Daniel J. Spitz, appearing on CBS News' The Early Show, said, "It's really not conceivable that she would be able to use the handcuffs that are holding her hands behind her back to cause a compressive force to her neck, but that the chain running from the cuffs to the bench might conceivably have done it." One of the worst parts of this story is that apparently, the Phoenix police just peed all over any privacy rights she or her family may have had. They claim that she was traveling to Tucson in order to attend... I'm sorry, the relatives. I take that part back. Relatives said, according to the article, that she was supposed to fly directly to Tucson to enter an inpatient alcohol rehab program. But she changed her plans from a direct flight to Tucson to one where she would have to get on a plane from Phoenix to Tucson for one reason and one reason only: a short layover in Phoenix. And she opted for that short layover in Phoenix so that she could accompany... Oh, God. So that she could accompany her children to school that morning. And the agitation began when she missed her connecting flight. Did she miss it, or was it a case of, our friend Wayne told us about the nightmare of his trip from Charleston, West Virginia to Washington, D.C. to Burlington, Vermont not long back. And the trip home in which they got from Washington to Burlington too late to catch the connecting flight from Washington, D.C. to Charleston, West Virginia. Did she miss her connecting flight, or is the connecting flight already done boarding? This is an evil, evil story. And obviously she was within reach of saving because she vomited during an attempt at resuscitation. I don't think we've seen the end of this story. I don't think we've seen the end at all. I hope we haven't. That poor family, those poor children, those poor, poor little children. Apparently Ms. Gottbaum had made a determination that she needed help with a substance problem and was apparently trying to go to somewhere with a good reputation where she could get the help that she needed. And in this country, this tired, sad, terrified, terror-stricken, intolerant country, when she dared to raise her voice, a lone woman traveling unattended and unescorted, Jesus, phrases like that make it sound like it happened in Saudi Arabia. Well, you can get killed for that in America now. You can get killed for that in Bushmerica now. And three children? Two children? Don't have a mommy anymore. She's a year older than me. And she dared to become upset, and they killed her for it. You know, there's really not much difference between this story and the story of the young man in Panama City, Florida, at the juvenile camp. And that trial is underway now. Who was murdered by the prison camp guards. The kid, as a juvenile, had joylifted or, you know, stolen a car or some such, had some sort of a larceny conviction as a juvenile in Florida. He was, of course, African-American. Ms. Gottbaum was white. But in both instances, the underlying offense certainly did not merit execution. The underlying offenses did not merit the punishment that was dished out summarily, much like vigilante justice. The young man did not deserve to be beaten to death, and Ms. Gottbaum did not deserve to be strangled. But that is the state of affairs in Bushmerica. That is what you get in a country gone absolutely hog wild on terror. Ms. Gottbaum, at worst, could have made a scene that proved personally embarrassing. She was terrified. Like she was supposed to be. This is the terror nation. She was sufficiently terrified, and for her terror, she was executed. Now, you can take issue with me and say, well, you know, Bob, that'd have to be an intentional act to say that she was executed. Nah, you can be negligently executed, too. At least that's the way I see it. Or, as I was told, do I just need to settle down? Do I just need to lighten up? Do I just need to take it easy and watch a little bit more television? Pay a little more attention to the baseball playoffs. Hey, get yourself involved in you need a craft, Bob. You need something that'll take your mind off things. It's not as bad as you think. It's pretty good, really. Did you know that the Dow Jones Industrial Average is over 14,000? Why, there are just millionaires everywhere you look. What's wrong with you, Bob? William writes in from Hollywood. Just to back up a bit, you were talking about people who pay attention and those who don't. I began paying attention when Bush first stole the elections. I had no idea who he was for the most part. I don't know whether it's because those who don't care get by because they've not been affected yet or what. I do find one thing odd. I find the airlines have become the test to see just how far people can be herded and controlled. However, people just see this as an inconvenience rather than a way of controlled training and dumbing down. I ask you, do you think if there were another attack, it would be done the same way again? I don't think you do, William. And I don't either. They're not going to fly planes into buildings again. That's so September 11th. No. And frankly, it took them a lot of resources to be able to pull that off. No, they'll go the easy route. They'll take some lessons from the West Bank. You know, backpack bombs, Walmarts, that kind of thing. But meanwhile, we're all down with making sure that hysterical 45-year-old mothers get shackled to a bench. Who wants to stand up and lead in the singing of God Bless America? Come on, we can do it. Let's go to the phone, see who we've got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Ed.
Yeah, you got on cops. I didn't have a lot to say. I just wanted to listen. But these bastards out there that you're talking about, they're eventually going to open season on themselves. And I can give you a typical example.
All right.
And you know that a deputy ain't going to be standing on a corner at Pitt Row making a telephone call to his wife. So you wonder what's going on there. They use that position for everything but what it, and the big fat slobs couldn't run 50 yards. And you know they put some of them through a rigorous test to disqualify them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a friend that went through that. And I despise them. I'm not kidding you. The cops are the public enemy number one, as far as I'm concerned. And they're right here. And mainly, and you know, I think I told you about dreaming I left out of here at leaving for Richmond at 4 o'clock in the morning, and there was one backed up in by a church down here, and it's like police in the Sahara Desert. At 4 o'clock in the morning, nobody goes out of here. And so you know what he's doing. He works at Kroger's or one of the other places, and then he sleeps at night. So that's, and then when they do something, it's something like you're describing. They're a bunch of despicable scum. And I'd stand up and tell them that to their teeth. I don't have a bit of use for cops or police. And some people, well, we got to have the police. What would happen if you had the emergency and called them? What would happen? You better be able to endure the emergency. Because I've called them out here on this road on the golfers that leave out, and I'm a golfer too, but they leave out of here speeding in the evening after they've drunk a 12.
I was going to say, probably drunker than Adam's off ox in the first place.
Yeah, and you can't... you can't get them out here. I've been to the state police 3 times, and I can't get nothing done. So, and the very reason for that is because they play golf down here. So there, you're just chasing your tail, messing with the cops. But they're going to keep on till public enemy number one is going to be after their hind end.
Yeah, you caught yourself there, didn't you?
I'm in agreement with you. It's comparable to what George Bush says about the terrorists. Everything that he describes what other people are doing is what he's doing. And it's the same way with the cops. The stuff that they're supposed to be fighting and upholding, they're into themselves. So
These guys are proud of themselves, Ed. They're proud of themselves. They didn't taser her, and they didn't They didn't pepper spray her, but they did strangle her to death.
Well, that ain't too bad. Pepper spray sounds pretty good to me compared to what they've done. And that ain't the only person they've killed. You know, if that was the only one, look how many they've shot down after they've been on the ground and surrendered.
Yeah.
They're a disgrace to what a cop is supposed to be.
Well, you know, here's a 45-year-old woman. You know, she's no big thing. And she, the way they make it sound, she dragged the cops to the ground? Not buying it, Ed. I'm just not buying it.
Well, you know what? If she dragged the cop to the ground, that's what I'm talking about. He's one of them big fat slobs that ought not to have been there to start with. But I don't believe that. I just don't believe that that a woman, especially, you know, that age, they become weaker. And I just don't believe that crap at all.
Well,
I despise them. I don't have a bit of use for them. And I could tell them to their teeth. If I saw somebody stomping their brains out, I'd make sure they had a heavy enough boot on. That's how strong I feel against them. And, you know, the public...
Well, I got a feeling this lady's family is probably about where you are right now, Ed.
Sir?
I said, I got a feeling this lady's family is about where you are.
Yeah. Well, I got a feeling there's a whole lot of family people recognize them for what they're for, but they got that gun on, and they can be the uniform and the gun and the authority that they assume that goes with their job is intimidating, and people don't know to stand up to them. I had to do it in union stuff, and I could tell you a couple tales that happened there, but I think you know me well enough to know that I didn't back down.
No, you didn't.
Of course, I had the numbers on my side, too. But I just when I see them and look at their big guts, they look like they're smuggling watermelons or something. And they call herself cops. And probably that woman could have whipped his hind end if she had stood up and really fought him. If they're like they are around here, and you see them at Kroger's. And, you know, that's another thing I don't understand. How do they use our uniforms and our cars and the guns that the taxpayer pays for to go in at Kroger's and do guard duty? How is...
Oh, that's...
You
know, no, they're off duty. They're moonlighting.
Well, what are they doing in our unit? If they're off duty, why have they got all of our equipment? Why are they using our gas money?
Well, you ever see... You ever see a state trooper parked in the median in a road construction zone around here, Ed?
No, I don't believe.
Well, I have.
I've seen cities.
No, well, I was going up the interstate and big stretch of road construction, and I found out that the company that's doing the road construction pays the state troopers who can only do it on their days off. They can't do it when they're on duty. But they pay them $25 an hour to just cruise in their cruisers through the construction zone. You know, and people need to drive slowly. I wouldn't work one of those jobs. That's too dangerous. Crazy people driving by and you're 2 feet from them. Mm-mm. But the state police are paid on their days off $25 an hour just to cruise up and down the construction zone in a car that the state paid for, gasoline that the taxpayers bought, yada yada yada. Yeah, sure.
Now, when, you know, and what steps can be taken to stop it when you got a governor like
you can't. Manchin? You can't.
You know, he's one of them gung-hos that keeps turning out. And here, you know, and I'm for the teachers having a fair wage for what they go through, but I am not for these public workers making more than what the consumer or what the people like me and you make. Why should our taxes be such that we pay them more than what we make.
Well, I've got it.
I'd like for somebody to explain that to me.
I've got a good friend, Ed, who says that when he gets to be governor of West Virginia, the state police are going to be on pogo sticks and glad to have them.
They're going to be what?
On pogo sticks and glad to have them.
Well, I'd like to tell them where to stick their pogo sticks or whatever. But I just don't have any use for them. I see what they do. I'm retired. And I drive around, I play golf, and I see what they're up to. And it's certainly, they are as bad as who that they're trying to apprehend in most cases. And they think they can push and bully and beat on people that are afraid to stand up and fight back. I'd really like to tell a whole conference of them of what they look like and the reflection they have on the public. And I know you probably get a couple calls saying, well, he's wrong. You know, he just don't understand. You're damn right I understand. You know, I was in that stuff for a while, and I know what they'll do. I've seen what they'll do. And so there ain't nobody can tell me nothing about them. They're one of the dirtiest. The Gestapo ain't got a thing on them.
Well, I'm getting a couple of emails in here. Somebody, one person just wrote in, one of our good friends, regular listeners, said, listening to this caller about cops, she says, I feel the same. So you're among friends here.
Yeah. Well, whether I was or not, it's like anything else you start. Somebody's got to start it, and then somebody's got to think about it. And then that's where you get something done. But this governor we got would make a good back end for a jackass. And, you know, the only thing he's done is that I can see is that he went ahead and backed this child thing that poor Bush.
The S-chip?
Bush didn't expand it.
No, that he vetoed, sure.
But he didn't let it go back any. And, you know, that's so ironic. We can't afford to keep the kids healthy and alive, but yet we can spend money getting the soldiers killed. And I don't know how to state that how I really feel.
No, you just did, and it is. It's mind-boggling.
It makes your
eyeballs feel like they're going to. You can't get a handle on it. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
It's got me so mad. I can barely. I spit when I talk. I'm so mad about it.
Yeah, and you know he's so damned ignorant that it's like Bill Maher said that after he says something. You know, he turns around and looks like I nailed him, didn't I? You know, and he's so stupid he don't realize what he said. I just think about it, Bob. Of all of the people he describes, that president or whatever you call him of Iran, the nut,
yeah,
and the rest of them over there, the things that he says about them, that's what he's doing. You know, the killings and all the stuff that goes on.
Oh, Ed, we're all full up on crazy.
Yeah, there ain't a whole lot of room unless we get turned into a balloon. But Bob, I didn't mean to get on here.
Don't you ever apologize, Ed. I love your call.
I despise a stinking cop. I don't care how big, how little. But the thing that gets me... I'd like to see one of them catch me on foot. You know, their gut, they'd be walking on it before they could do it. And when I pass them at Kroger's and stuff, they'll speak, and I turn my head. I won't even acknowledge them speaking. I despise them so much because I know what they do after dark. And even if a guy's driving drunk, yeah, he needs his hind end kicked, but it ain't their job to kick it. And the kicking should come through the court system and giving them whatever they want to. But they've set themselves up as they're an anointed judge, jury, and the arresting officer, too. And that is not the way the system is supposed to work.
Well,
so I don't know what they're turning out, what kind of men that. Well, they told a friend of mine when he went down there to the police school. He's 32. He said, "We don't like to get guys like you because the system has already ruined your mind. In other words, they can't brainwash you if you're that old. They like to get you when you're 19 or 20, and then they can twist you any way they want to." So that's what we're turning out. That's the kind of people. There ought to be something that says they have to be 23 before they can even get in there.
Or have a college degree.
Yeah, well, that's beyond hell. You don't want to do that. That'd be damn more dangerous than ever. But if you will, I'd like to go back on hold.
Oh, sure thing, Ed. No problem at all.
I sure didn't mean to get on here and go nuts on you.
Well, you didn't. You didn't. But, don't you worry.
Anytime you bring up cops, and I hear especially, you know, Bob, people don't let that woman touch him. It didn't happen to my family. It ain't my family. When the hell's it going to become their family? When are they going to realize that this should be a unity and a unified action between all the people, because they could be next?
I think you just said exactly, you just gave the answer to the question that I've been asking all night long. You did, Ed, and I appreciate it. I'll put you back on hold, and you can be there and as long as you want to.
All right, well, I sure thank you, and you're doing a good job.
Thank you, Ed. You take care now.
Mm-hmm.
Our good friend Ed from here in Fayette County. And a little closer to home, just to let you know a little something that's going on. I don't think it's been settled yet. I didn't see that it has. I believe it was Monday. The nurses, the registered nurses who work for Appalachian Regional Hospitals, went out on strike. Now, these men and women have absolutely been tormented by their employer for the life of the last contract. They dragged that nurses union through lawsuits, arbitration, appeals to the circuit court of appeals in Cincinnati. To give you one idea, and this may sound a little strange, but it really isn't. As a matter of retribution, if I understand correctly, nurses anymore and medical staff workers, they'll wear prints and scrubs that, you know, like in the children's ward, with prints with teddy bears and little ponies and stuff on them, just to put people more at ease, especially children. Well, nurses at Appalachian Regional Hospital now have to wear solid white. It's a throwback of some 50 years. Company policy. And, of course, that was a way of getting a little dig in by making the nurses go and buy all new uniforms, because the hospital damn sure doesn't provide them. But the heart and soul of the dispute is that in the new contract that's offered, and for somebody, you know, we talk about children's health care. You know, this is health care in general. And this is the same hospital chain that got me in hot water when I suggested to their CEO to bite me one night on the air back in the bad old days of terrestrial radio. Well, I'm going to pull my advertising. What's a nonprofit corporation doing with an advertising budget? But, you know, that's me. I'm crazy. No, they want to be able to force the nurses to do unlimited overtime. 16-hour shifts. Tell you what, you got a loved one in the hospital, as hard as they work and as dedicated as they are, do you really want nurses in there who have been at it for 16 hours a day for 2 or 3 or 4 days because they are not permitted to say no, even though the law of the state of West Virginia says that the hospital isn't allowed to do that? This hospital corporation wants a contract that says they get to violate the laws of the state. Go figure. So my heart goes out to those nurses in the Appalachian Regional Hospital System. Where are we going? Where are we going in this country? You know, but don't worry about it. You know, it's your problem that you're paying attention to it. There's something wrong with you, right? How many rights have you lost? How many loved ones have you lost at an Appalachian Regional Hospital System because they're understaffed and the staff they do have is brutally overworked? Oh, none? Why are you worrying about it? Put your head down and move on, citizen. If you don't, you're liable to get handcuffed to a bench and accidentally strangle yourself. And of course, let's stay in West Virginia for a minute. I found something over at E Pluribus Media. Just going to read it. Imagine if you could even think of the horrific situation where a 20-year-old pretty white woman was abducted by six black men and women, raped, stabbed, made to eat rat poop, drink from a toilet, threatened with death if she tried to escape, and tortured for about a week. Imagine not only what living hell that poor woman went through, but also the fact that she was still undergoing treatment for her injuries around a month later. Imagine the 24-hour outrage on the cable news outlets, in the papers, every caring human being, not to mention the outrage by the racist people who would be decrying this, the culture that promotes animals like this, how this was a hate crime and the potential revenge for these horrific acts. Imagine that the suspects all had prior arrests and records for prior crimes, including one who was arrested for murder of an 84-year-old woman but pled to a lesser charge of manslaughter. We would hear about this case for months, and we would all know her name, the suspects' names, backgrounds, and every little development and detail in her treatment, the case, and the potential blowback to the community. Now that you've finished imagining this hell that the poor woman was subjected to, ask yourself if you've ever heard this name. Megan Williams. The writer at E Pluribus Media says, I bet you haven't. I know I didn't, at least before today, when I got an email about the matter. Megan Williams, you see, is black. And all of what you just imagined, everything that I just read that was written there at E Pluribus Media, actually did happen to Megan Williams a few short weeks ago. It has been almost unreported. No round-the-clock commentary on CNN. No raging declarations by Bill O'Reilly. No panels of experts talking about the degradation and breakdown of the justice system that allowed these six to even be in a position to kidnap, rape, and torture Ms. Williams. No calls for protests. No help for Ms. Williams or her family in this time of need. No on-the-ground reporters with live updates at the local jail, courthouse, or even interviewing the locals. No special segments advertised on any of the major news networks and programs. At least none, says the writer that I've seen. But if you look at ABC News' website, U.S. News page, you'll find a story about Natalie Holloway's mother still holding out hope. And at the time of the writing of this piece, the blog poll on CNN.com is whether Brittany can get her life back together. Megan Williams' case happened in Logan County, West Virginia. the U.S. Attorney's Office here declined to prosecute it as a hate crime. It hasn't been around-the-clock media coverage. No, no. And the writer here says, once again, we have a stark contrast here. Ms. Williams is not white. I have no idea as to whether she is pretty or wealthy, but neither of those mean anything. What does matter is that she was kidnapped, beaten, tortured, raped, threatened with death by six white people in West Virginia. And these six people have long records. Her life is scarred beyond repair, and unspeakable acts were committed against her while she was imprisoned by thugs and criminals for a week. And the writer notes the absence of ongoing coverage and says the volume that the media silence speaks when the victim isn't white, young, pretty, and wealthy. Why else wouldn't this story get the coverage it deserves? Is it because she isn't white? How can you reach any conclusion but that the answer to that question is yes, of course? Didn't get to all our stories tonight. We will get to them tomorrow, though. Thanks, everybody, for joining in. Thanks for your calls, your emails, your comments in the chat room. Thanks for being there. Thanks for listening on your podcast later on if you didn't listen live. Thank you for participating in Conversation Radio. Thank you for helping to build independent media, an independent medium. And just as an aside, we have gotten up to about $350 for donation. No, there's that word, for contributions for the month of October. Remember, we're on our way to 2,000. Thanks for helping to build and maintain this little miracle that is the Horn. Thanks to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk. If you value what happens on the Horn, you value Ben Birch and WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to John Fox, our chief engineer, and our IT consultant, Peter Godbold, who's on the way with Strictly Confidential coming up, and a conversation with Archbishop Bruce Simpson. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is the Quality News Network. The two leaders of North and South Korea have pledged to formulate a new peace treaty that will formally end the Korean War and replace the 1953 ceasefire. The two countries have also laid out plans to increase joint projects to reduce tensions between them. State media in Myanmar reports that the head of the country's military says he's willing to meet with the detained opposition leader, but conditions must be met. She must agree to end her calls for sanctions against the government. A relative of three women released after the demonstrations in Myanmar said detainees were being divided into four categories: passersby, those who watched, those who clapped, and those who joined in. The last group could face 20 years in prison. The House of Representatives has passed a bill that would make private security contractors, such as Blackwater, subject to prosecution in U.S. courts for incidents that occur overseas. The Senate plans to vote on similar legislation. Iraq's president said today his country has ordered $100 million worth of weapons from China because the U.S. is unable to meet Baghdad's needs. The weapons purchased are to arm the Iraqi police force, in which only one in five officers are armed. An agreement reached today lays the groundwork for a power-sharing deal in Pakistan. Former Pakistani Premier Benazir Bhutto will return to her homeland October 18th. President Pervez Musharraf is running for re-election on Saturday. Chile's late military ruler, General Augusto Pinochet's widow and five children, have been arrested for illegally transferring $27 million out of the country and into foreign bank accounts from 1973 to 1990. Pinochet died of a heart attack last year while under house arrest. He was 91, but before he ever got to trial. More than 3,000 people were killed or disappeared during his military rule. In South Africa, all of the more than 3,000 gold miners are now safely above ground. About 3,200 were trapped 1.5 miles underground yesterday when an accident